You know, when God gives us a commission, we carry it out. He transforms us. When He begins to work in us, and we don't comprehend it, all we can really do at some point is to just put one foot in front of the other. And that's all He's expecting us to do. How many had the anointing of the Lord during this Thanksgiving? Thank you. There was a marvelous surprise for my wife because my son had planned to come from Maine. She knew nothing of it. So we had been in cahoots together for several weeks. And he was in even more cahoots with Friday's situation because he didn't come on Thursday. He couldn't. But they drove halfway down, slept in the southern areas of Maine, and by noontime, he went and got her at work. And of course, he's taller than I, and where she works, there's a lot of clothes, it's a dry cleaner, and his wife is not exactly tall. So his wife, Susan, was not visible to her. And her boss said, "Irene, someone's waiting for you, wants to speak to you." And she says, "Kim, whenever I saw that face at the job site," needless to say, her heart was filled with joy. It's been a marvelous Friday and Saturday, and this morning they had to head back. And we had them all to ourselves because of God's grace, God's way. And watching the trials of my son is like watching myself a few years back. How many see others go through what you've been through? And you'd love to pick them up and say, "Wow, can you see what God is doing right now?" And they probably would slap you in the face and say, "This can't be God." But you see, you've been there already. And this morning, as I was praying, my son landed in the family room and sat down with his cup of coffee, and I had a word for him. It's easy to give a word to those I don't know. It's something else to give a word to the one that carries my flaws. How many of you have children? How many see their flaws? How many see their flaws that you had inside them? And I looked at him and I wanted to pull away. You know, I really wanted to run. But I ran to the Lord for more grace. And I began to write down what God had showed me. And I wrote it down and went to give him the piece of paper. And he says, "Dad, wait." And you know those special moments that you want to record for eternity? That was one of those moments. He says, "This is what I see. His strength in the realm of the spirit is perception." So you see, he doesn't carry just my flaws. He carries some of the gifts of God in him, like me. And he began to describe what he saw. And I thanked him. I looked at him and I said, "Now this is what God says." And handed him the little piece of paper that had his name written down twice. That's how it started. Gary, Gary. And then, the word of the Lord to him. Now, the word of the Lord is between him and the Lord. But the impact on a father of watching his response and beginning to say to him, you know, son, some of those very weaknesses that you carry, I carry. Past tense. Some of those strengths that are in you come from the same Holy Ghost that knew me before I was born. I wanted to say, living your tomorrows today. Living eternity today. But that wasn't part of God's plan. His wife came in the room and we went to another level. We talked and we shared those precious moments. And then the Lord said to anoint them. And we prayed. God's grace and God's ways are so, so far beyond what you and I could conceive. God's ways of resting are very strange to us because we are in a habit of being doers. And we love to control. Yeah. If everybody would do it my way, this wonderful world we live in would be so much easier for you. Except it would be a lot harder on me. Can you say ouch? See, when I do it God's way, you're going to get hurt. You might even get wounded, offended. When Jesus did it God's way, the disciples got upset. Even his best friends turned against him. That's what you and I have to look forward to. Isn't that a wonderful gift? Huh? You know, this morning I said to the Lord, on the way down, drive time is a wonderful prayer time, isn't it, Pete? It's all along the road of life that you discover more of him. Drive time is my time to talk to the Lord and hopefully hear from him. Do I like what he says sometimes? Yeah. I'm glad she said no. You know, I said to him, I know what you showed me this morning, but whatever you want, whatever you have a purpose to release into the hearts of these that are being here, I'm more than willing to obey. You see, was showing me Peter. And if you'll come with me in Luke, we'll take a peek at Peter. But before we look to Peter, I want you to see Chapter 22, Luke 22, the dispute that arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. That's verse 24. A dispute
arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. And Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. The one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. Verse 28. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, with an S. And I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me. This is an awesome verse. I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And then he gives a warning to his wonderful friend. Simon, Satan has asked to sift you this week. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. That your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, and when, not if, when is the trigger word that you better put a circle around. When you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Do you think he wanted to hear this? Do you actually understand that you are getting a warning that you haven't got a clue what's inside of you, that you're going to run away from God, that you're going to tell God to go and do what you, out of your own thrust and lust and control tactics, would literally speak to God himself? And I've done that. Because I was angry. Now, I know you guys never did that, but that's wonderful for you, but I was human. And all that fleshy stuff that was inside of me, I didn't even know was there. Until it started spurting out of me, like, excuse the expression, but it was like vomit. And it stunk. And I said, oh my God, Lord, what have I done? And the next thing I knew, I was on the next tirade. It was like A, B, and C. And then it went to D and F. And I said, oh my God, what much more garbage is in there? See, you and I don't know what's inside of us. But when there's pressure, and we want to defend ourselves in our little peacock feathers show up. How many of you got a few of those? Yeah. I didn't call it rooster feathers, but, you know, I think I'm trying to be honest. Okay? Hear me. If it happened to these disciples who were with him and watched all the miracles and the resurrections of all those who had died prematurely, including Lazarus, I mean, talk about a stinking mess. Was it too big for Jesus? But you understand, we look at ourselves and we say, oh my God, there's so much garbage in me that's too big for God. Let me get away. What is that? That's unbelief that's operating and an accusing demon that says, ha, if you only knew what God can do to you. Forget it. If you only knew what God can do to you. He's giving you a warning. When you have turned back. When you have turned back. Well, you got to see yourself first. You got to see the mess Cooper! Did I like to see what was coming out of me?
Absolutely.
But did I like the results when I turned back? Aha! That's the trigger. Now we've got many who have walked away from the Lord. And they're angry, and they're hurting, and they want it their way. All right, what do we do? Do we drop them like a hot potato? No, absolutely not. We pick them up, we bring them before Jesus. Then we say, God, it's not too big for you. It's not too big to pick up Diana. It's not too big to set her free from the cancer that's trying to hurt her. It's not too big to take care of Pam, who's in a miserable state right now. But you see, yesterday, she had faith. She called. And she said, I need help. And we're going to be there for her. We're going to do what God says to the best of our ability. Well, you say, why did you do that? Do this? You know, I want to know what God wants. And I want to do what God wants. I don't want to just do because I feel that people are watching. Is it true that people are watching?
Yes.
But are we supposed to be servants of people or servants of the Most High? If I'm serving the Most High, will I ruffle the people's feathers? Yeah. And that's the catch, isn't it? But when we turn back to Him, and we see when we obey Him, the awesomeness of His plan. We've seen that in the past years many, many times. And He's got a lot more to educate us with. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. When you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. When you have seen yourself, you'll have a compassionate heart to help them up. You'll have a compassionate heart to release a healing upon them that they can't do right now because they're blinded by hope. Now, I could take you down the road, and I could show you that Peter was so zealous for God that he decided that he was going to help out the Lord by stopping God's plan. How many know what happened when that servant came and Peter took his sword? Shoo! Doesn't that look like you and me when we're going to fix everything? Talk about egg being on Peter's face when the Lord picks up the ear and puts it back on the servant and prays for this miserable situation. I think if I would have been the Lord, I would have said, hey, Peter. But what did Peter do? He was just reacting. He wanted to protect and defend God. Was it his job? No. Releasing himself, the Lord releasing himself unto the Father's plan could not be understood by man. Yet in the garden, Jesus had already made his decision. Let it be done to me according to your word, thy will. Aha. Let it be done to me according to thy will. And as Peter began to look at himself, I am absolutely convinced as he watched Jesus being pushed and shoved and then pulled away, Peter had to face himself. Now, there was a warning. Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me. Did he remember that? Say, there are brain blocks that are sometimes a part of my life. Amen? There are times when I don't recall what God has spoken about my future. There are times that God has given me insight, and it is totally blanked out by the circumstances.
and I have no clue about how strengthening you is going to help me along the next level. Amen?
Amen.
But if I do, I take my eyes off of me and I begin to see your hurt and begin to see your pain, and as I intercede for you, that's who is healing me. God is healing me. That's how it works. If I put my eyes back on myself, like Peter did, and he says, now let's see how I can fix the next level. And then he denies the Lord when this female shows up. I'm sure he had problems with females that day. I am absolutely convinced. This little irritation that came over and started to question him, telling him that even his accent was a giveaway. Do you think he really wanted to hear that? You see, I believe that there are many of us right now that we are facing trials that we don't understand. We're facing circumstances that we'd like to just give somebody a swift kick and straighten them out and make them behave, never once conceiving that the whole pattern is something God has already orchestrated in the heavens to teach me about me. Amen?
Amen.
It's to teach me about what's inside of me, so that I don't go making a mess all over again. I believe that after Peter had done what he had done in defending his position, that he wasn't even a Galilean. That's like saying somebody from deep down south, and they've got that incredible slang, okay, that y'all is a giveaway, and they tell you, I'm from North Carolina. I'm from the north. Yeah, you really are. You think North Carolina's north? Their slang gives them away. They're a southerner. And when I was in the south, guess what? I remember, this is no lie. We took a trip, my brother and I, many years ago. And he wanted a steak. This is just after he sold his slaughterhouse. And he says, I want a real Western beef for dinner. Today, I don't care where we go, but I want a real good Western steak. So, teasingly, his wife and I said, well, we'll keep an eye on for the signs along the road, because there's everywhere. They're everywhere. Sure enough, we see a sign, you know, steaks, blah, blah, blah. We get to the restaurant, we get in there, and we sit down, and this young woman comes over, and she greets us and tells us a whole mess of words. And I looked at my brother, and she walked away as she left the menu on the table. And my sister-in-law says, Kim, did you hear what she said? And we were in Oklahoma. And I said, no, I didn't understand a word. My brother says, I thought it was because of my French background. I didn't understand a word either. And Nicole, my sister-in-law, was brought up right at the border, so she's bilingual. She's very good in her English. She writes, and she's awesome. She says, Kim, I thought there was something wrong with me. I didn't understand one word. Not one word. So when the young lady comes back, I said, we are in a dilemma. I'm from Massachusetts, and my brother and his wife are from Canada, and we did not comprehend what you spoke to us. And she began to giggle. She says, well, you know, your looks were very much from this area. I said, well, our looks were deceiving you. We're not from this area. And we didn't understand a word. Would you please, you know, speak in terms that we can comprehend? What if she would have said, I'm not a southerner. that's what Peter did. Galilee was totally different than in the areas of Jerusalem. And if you had people from down south in this congregation right now, and they began to communicate and said, I'm not from the south, you'd be able to say, like I did to that young woman, hey, we're from a different part. Treat me nice. Peter could have said, well, my accent gives me away. Did he then recognize what was in him? No. But then there was a small attention getter. One of those little, probably a bandy rooster, yelled out 3 times his favorite song. It's time to get out of bed. It must have been around 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. And then the Lord looked at Peter. How many know and have experienced the look of a brother or sister in Christ that sees right through your pain? And you begin to melt. And you know that you know that it's the Spirit of Jesus inside of that person looking into your heart. And you just want to disintegrate. You want to just run the other way because you just know the enemy's been exposed. Peter, when you turn back, go help your brothers. Got a hand next to you. Reach out to that hand right now. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know that I'm being tested for a purpose. So that I can see what's inside of me. And then when I have that exposed. I'll be able to repent quickly. And after this test is done. I'll be more in shape to pray for you. Because I'll see. The compassionate heart being formed in me. And the judgmental attitude. Falling away quickly. The critical attitude. That was inside of Peter. It'll fall away from me. And when the test is done. I'll be a new person. The Spirit of God in me. Will intercede for you. So that you can make it to the victory. That's my heart for you. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I pray. Amen. Any additions? Any testimony? What is God able to do when you and I submit to Him? How much of God is in you and in me? Do I have an understanding of how much grace He's already done? How much love can be poured out of what I am and where I am and who I am into those that I don't understand? Got a call from Ryan last night. From Trinidad. He's all excited. His application to Pinecrest is complete. And he'll be going to Pinecrest to be formed and molded by the same Holy Ghost that you and I are being worked on. Ryan is 27 years old, full of the love of the Lord, as happy as a little bird right now, awaiting and anticipating that which God chose to bring him to New England, of all places, and spoiled him. And Pastor Yvonne and... yeah, you. Depositing in him some hunger. Yeah, Eugene, it's your fault. Now, you wouldn't think that God could use somebody in Trinidad and then bring him up to New England and bless him. Wouldn't make any logical sense. But it did. Is there more blessings coming upon Ryan because of God's obedience to these two? Yeah. How many still carry Ryan in their hearts? All right. It's exciting to see that this little church was able to touch him. And the same Holy Ghost was able to pour out of me and out of you into him. Let's give him the praise. Stand. Thank you for this day. And those that have been touched.
And those that have been touched.
By the house of prayer for all nations.
By the house of prayer for all nations.
Lord Jesus, release a blessing.
Lord Jesus, release a blessing.
To those that are listening over the internet. And wherever and whomever.
And wherever and whomever.
That they may have a need.
That they may have a need.
If they've gone through a test.
If they've gone through a test.
And seen themselves.
And seen themselves.
Now, Lord.
Now, Lord.
We're asking for blessings to pour out of their hearts.
Now we're asking for blessings to pour out of their hearts.
For those who have offended and mistreated them. Let it be done by grace through me.
Let it be done by grace through me.
By the Holy Ghost inside of me.
By the Holy Ghost inside of me.
Who's in love with me.
Who's in love with me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Look at your neighbor. Say, he's in love with you too.
He's in love with you too.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Share some hugs.